Welcome to another episode of Indeed, the independent podcast about independent wrestling. I'm Mike Hamley, your host. As always, I'm the only one who does the show. We're joined by a very special guest today, one of the brightest lights in the wrestling, the reigning girl fight champion, the first and only second wrestling champion. She goes by a bunch of names, Space Jesus, Pizza Cat Jr., Bully, William. I don't think I've even touched them all there, but yeah, got the one and only Billy Starks joining us today. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
First off, how do you end up with so many nicknames? Like,
So it just, ever since I started wrestling, that people just have given me cute little nicknames. And I'm like, oh, I'll take it, and just ran with it. And a lot of them are just like jokes about other people that I'm like, oh, that's funny. I'm stealing it.
Nice. I'd imagine the list. It's like you're like Jericho holding the list at this point.
Yeah, it's like, which one do I feel like doing today?
That's good, though. That's good. You got options to draw from, right?
Yes.
So a little bit of background info. You are 17. You're in your fourth year of wrestling now?
Yes.
You're from Kentucky?
Yes, Louisville.
All right, cool. Good job. Good job, internet. You helped me out.
And most of the time the internet launches it, so I was very shocked that you got them all right.
Gotta do the research. So kind of just speed round through your background in wrestling, and there's, you know, some more current stuff I'd like to ask you about, let's get into the history a little bit. When did you not like want to become a wrestler, but when did you just become like a fan of wrestling? Like, what was the thing that you're like, that's cool?
Just watching wrestling, and it like clicked for me that I could do it when I went to my first independent show, which was like a D1W show. I believe it was in the Colgate gym. And I just loved it, and I was like, this is great. This is what wrestling should be. And that's when it clicked for me that I was like, oh, I can do this. Like, I can become a professional wrestler. And that's when I fell in love, and I was like, I'm a fan.
That's really cool that it happened at an indie show, because like for most people, you'd think it'd be like, oh, I saw Jeff Hardy like jump off a ladder and do some crazy. And it's, you know, for you, it was like the relatability of like, I could do that. That was kind of the thing that led you into it. So you started training. How long did you start training? Like, you, because you had your first match pretty quick into your training, didn't you?
I did, because I started training in May and had my first match in October of the same year. It was very, very quickly.
Whoa.
Because I remember that like my first match happened on October 13th, and it was Friday the 13th. And I don't know why, but it's always been like stuck in my brain. I was like, haha, this was my debut.
Where did you train? Like, who did you train under? Like, where at?
I trained in Jeffersonville, Indiana at the arena. Under Grindhouse, and they had a few different trainers, but the one that helped me out the most was Aaron LaMotta.
Nice. Wrapping up on the training, is there anything that like you learned kind of early on in your training that's something that's just like practically something that stuck with you now that you can like kind of, you know, practice and apply to everything still?
Literally just cardio and cardio. I felt like that was like one of the most important aspects, because it's like mind over body. Like, you can keep going even though you don't think you can. And my trainer was very good about like keeping all the wrestlers in shape. And it was like, even if you're on a lower level or a higher level, cardio still sucks for everybody. And it's what everybody needs.
For sure. Got to have a motor. You hit the corner, you hit the ropes in the corners quick too. So like you got to stay on top of that for sure, I'd imagine. So kind of jump ahead a little bit. I did obviously watch some other interviews that you've done, kind of just to, you know, get a little prep work in. And I know in one interview I saw that you'd mentioned, like watching wrestling as a fan, it's kind of tricky, like when you're wrestling, to watch wrestling as a fan, because you just end up kind of like analyzing and dissecting everything.
It becomes like tape study at that point. It's like, I can't focus on anything.
Yeah. Is there a particular style or wrestler that you like go out of your way to watch and study?
Ooh, so I love just European wrestling, and I love Joshi wrestling. So any like quick pace, like Joshi wrestling, where it's just run spot, run spot, run spot, I really enjoy watching that and breaking it down. And I'm like, oh, if they're doing this move here, what could I replace it with that fits my moveset? And then I love just European wrestling because of chain wrestling, and everything flows really well together. And I love just watching Millie McKenzie. She's like one of my favorites, and she's always had like a very strong personality that I've connected to.
Nice, nice. With that studying of wrestling, is there let's get like an example kind of something common that you see while you're watching wrestling that I guess one like on you know on one side we'll go like one that you really appreciate like seeing and you know you want to see more of, and then something else that you kind of like dislike or wish people wouldn't do so often.
I love pacing, like the pacing of different matches. I feel like it's super important and tells a really good story, and you don't even have to do very much. It's just controlling like the emotions of the crowd just by how quickly or how slowly you're moving, and just seeing different wrestlers who have different paces, how they match up together. One pet peeve, I hate it so much, is when people get like shot off the ropes, the person who's like pulling them, their arm is weak. And then the same thing with like when they shoot them off, there's no pull, and like they also don't go to like the center of the ring at all. They're still standing over by the ropes, and I'm like, please, please pull this person with your body and see how hard it truly is.
Yeah, like those are like, yeah, that's like some small detail stuff too that I feel like I'd never notice this myself. I'm not gonna be able to unsee it now after this interview. I'm gonna be watching wrestling and be like, yeah, you barely touched them.
It's wrestling. We got to get used to it.
for sure. Honestly, there's some like that. You know, there's some much more complainable things than that. So I'm, you know, I'll save my scrutiny. I'll save my scrutiny for the obvious ones. Just getting back to your wrestling, what led to the Swanton being your finish?
So during the quarantine, I got bored and was like, I want to do a 450, and proceeded to do 450s, and I hate them because I have no control. I can do it. Doesn't mean I want to. Then I just started working on the Swanton and making it like mine and pretty as possible. So I decided that it was going to become my finisher because I was like, screw 450s because they're scary. I like Swantons because it's more of a fall and I have more control. I was like, if they roll out, I can still reach them. If they roll in, I can still reach them. With a 450, they have to be in the perfect spot or you're getting knees to the face or I'm Scorpion myself.
For sure. Like, yeah, that's weird to me that you'd say that the Swanton is like less scary than the 450, because like what yours, you have such like a late rotation on yours and it looks so awesome, but like it's like basically a head first dive until the rotation. And like,
but I enjoy that because I can see where I'm going the entire time. With the 450, my rotation's so quick that I feel like I'm just giving myself whiplash.
True. That's interesting. I've never heard actually like the wrestler side of it with this one with anything like that. So that's really because like from the viewer standpoint, it's just, oh my god, that's like a head first dive and then like a quick late rotation that looks terrifying. But
see, I feel like moonsaults are scarier because when I can't see where my opponent is, and when I'm going backwards, I'm like, oh no, where am I?
Oh yeah, anything backwards just seems crazy to me. But like, that's why I talk about wrestling on the internet and don't actually do it, because like I couldn't even put myself up on the second or third row. So, I have less of a question and more of a comment here. But your entrance music, "Aliens Exist," that's one of my "Enema of the State" is one of my favorite albums, so I just wanted to say good choice. I love that song.
I just love Blink 182, but it's kind of like ruined it for me because I have to hear this song like all the time. Now I'm like, oh, skip, can't listen to it in my car, just trying to enjoy life, because I feel like I get in wrestler mode And I was like, no, we are not wrestling right now. I do not need to be listening to aliens exist.
Just get the instant pump up of adrenaline whenever the song comes on, I guess. Eh?
Yeah, it's like, okay, it's go time. That's what it feels like every time I hear it.
Nice. All right. So want to dive into a couple of recent tweets because you have some funny ones out there. I guess we'll go pretty recent. What talk about wearing Birkenstocks in the gym.
So I work out at a boxing and like kickboxing place. So before that, I went to go try to do kickboxing. And if you saw earlier on my Twitter feed, I have a very bruised leg. So I don't know where my smart brain just decided, yeah, I can still kickbox when my leg is black and blue. And I could not. So I decided to go lift weights. And I had my Birkenstocks. So I just slipped on my socks and started lifting.
Socks and stocks in the gym. We're setting fashion trends for it's going to be happening now. I saw Trey Miguel giving you a bit of a hard time about the Jordans in the gym too.
It's because he's seen me like for a couple of weekends and I've just been a menace with my shoes. I was like, here's my black Air Forces, here's Birkenstocks, and he's like, what are you doing right now, what is this vibe?
I don't know. Air Forces seem like they'd be at least somewhat sensible, like gym attire. More than Birkenstocks. Not
for the
gym.
It was just for a wrestling show. I was like, I'm feeling the Black Forces today.
So the next one I wanted to mention was ziplining with mom.
Oh, yeah.
One, how was the ziplining? But two, why does Sawyer Rec have honorary mom status?
Because I just love her so much. And I joked that this weekend that she was my lesbian mom. because I just love her and she's always taking care of me. I got to drive around with her and go zip lining. And we had shows together this weekend. But the zip lining was very fun. I haven't done it in a very long time. And it was the first time that I've done like the long zip line. And Sawyer went before me and I watched her disappear in the darkness because it was in a cave, so you can't see anything. And she makes the line just go bounce, bounce, and she disappears. And I was like, oh no, I have to go next. And I begin ziplining and I thought I was going to hit, they put like a mattress on the wall. I thought I was going to just ram into the mattress.
Oh man, that sounds like I'm already like afraid of heights. So just the idea of ziplining is horrifying. But then adding the can't see where you're going into a cave at night kind of thing to it, that's just.
It was a different type of level. It was like, let me test like all of my fears right now. We ziplined over three canyons at one point, and I was like, this is so cool. But at the same time, I'm terrified.
Suddenly 450s are not so scary. And all right, the last one I want to get to is the bucket of soup incident.
It's not an incident. It was a full-blown decision that I made. So
a lifestyle choice for the bucket of soup.
So I texted my parent, Mouse, and I was like, Mouse, I'm hungry, are you gonna feed me? And he was like, well, I already ate, so you can go get your food. And I go, okay, I'm feeling soup, I'll be back later, I'm gonna go get some soup. And I proceeded to get on Olive Garden's website and order a gallon of soup that came in a bucket, drove 30 minutes there, got it, drove home, and my mom was back home and she was like, oh, I want dinner, is this soup for everybody? And I was like, no, the soup is for me. And I proceeded to grab a spoon and sit at my dining room table and eat a half gallon of soup and ate the other half the next day.
Okay, well, that answers like my follow-up question of how long does it take you to eat a whole gallon of soup? That I didn't even know that was like a serving option. I guess that's for like that's intended for like parties or families or something.
Probably like catering or a family pack. And I decided, nah, I'm the family today. I'm going to eat this gallon of soup.
Man, that's a lot. Yeah, that's just a lot of soup. But like, oh, geez. All right. So I had Scott from West Coast Pro on here a couple days ago. And we were kind of talking about the the youth in wrestling right now, because obviously Starboy Charlie, Titus Alexander, and Nick Wayne are pretty regular with West Coast Pro. Mm-hmm. And he made it a very specific point to also shout you out, which is, you know, absolutely correct. I don't think you can talk about, you know, young people doing big things in wrestling right now without mentioning your name. You're right at the forefront of that movement. So like, what, you know, like when you're first coming into a locker room, what's the atmosphere typically like when you're in a room full of folks that are like 10 to 30 years older than you? And, you know, some of them have been doing this for like longer than you've been alive.
I just think of it as another family gathering where you don't know most of them and you're just going around and saying hello.
Nice, nice. And, you know, obviously through being in a lot of these locker rooms, you've encountered some, you know, some veterans and legends of the industry. Is there any wisdom any of them have imparted on you that, you know, really resonates and sticks with you?
One thing that like someone said to me that sticks with me like every day, even outside of wrestling, is just being a good person gets you so much further than just being a bad person. If you're a good person, people want to help you. They want to continue being around you and just want the best for you. And I don't know why, but like ever since I heard that, I was like, I just have to be a good person and good things come. I'm very hippie sometimes and I'm like, karma exists and good karma receives good karma. Bad karma receives bad karma.
Absolutely. A firm believer in the power of positivity. It's kind of a focal point of the show is we just talk about all the stuff we like and we don't even give time to things that we don't want to talk about. It's a good way to live life. I'm Canadian, so I feel you on the being nice to people thing. How does it make you feel though? Like, how does it make you feel when you see all the, like, not just your own accolades and accomplishments, but like, you know, of, you know, guys like Charlie and Nick and, you know, all the young people taking over in wrestling right now?
I absolutely love it. And I think it's so empowering to see other people like me, just young and youthful in wrestling, just killing it. Like Nick Wayne gets to wrestle Will Ospreay, and Charlie just came back from his injury. I'm so excited for both of them. I wanted to be there for Nick Wayne's match versus Ospreay, but sadly I have a show. I was like, Nick, you have to kill it or I'm going to be very disappointed. And he was like, I got you, Bill. He also got his braces off today, and I used to be a braces kid. Nice. So I was like, Nick Wayne's going to smile for once. I can't wait.
Good timing for that too, because I'd imagine he's going to do a lot of it on Sunday, like just naturally walking around with one. And so like a testament to that kind of success, like I think in order to achieve that kind of like any kind of accomplishment or success at such a young age, there has to be like a level of dedication and hard work that goes into it. Like I was 17 once and I definitely had dreams about what I wanted to do. But, you know, without doing that kind of work, you don't get really close to living them, let alone, in your case, actually doing it. So, like, what kind of work goes in behind the scenes that people aren't aware of? And, like, if there's anyone you want to shout out for their help, like, who are we shouting out here?
I will shout out all of my friends and family for dealing with my shenanigans. My mom helps me so much with merch. She put in my order for t-shirts when I was like, hey, I'm running low and I'm not home. Can you please talk to my t-shirt guy and get these ordered? And before I hopped on here, I was wrapping up t-shirts, putting on sizes and trying to get it all organized for this weekend. And she also just stays on top of me about like, get these promos done. And then my little brother will help film my promos. And I am very lucky that I have such a great support system.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Your schedule has got to be like pretty crazy. In the summer, probably not too bad, but like during the
school. I get more sleep during the summer for sure because I don't have like school in the mornings. But it's still pretty crazy because I was up by 9-ish, 9:10, and then had to run and go to the gym, lift, get my car washed so it doesn't suck when I had to travel in it this weekend. But still busy as ever.
So the work never stops, but with all the juggling in terms of your schedule and like your personal life as well, you know, just like with training and stuff like that, what do you do to unwind in your free time?
I'm a big video game person, and I also just love my bunny, good old Thumper. He'll hang out with me. He let me brush his hair yesterday, which I was surprised. He usually doesn't. That means it's getting a little hot. He needs to get rid of some of it.
Bunnies are awesome. I've lived in houses with a couple. I've never owned one myself, but like when they get to the point where they're just like free roaming around your house and they're like comfortable with everything and just pick them off, those are,
it's the best. He still is grumpy when I pick him up, but he'll hop on my bed and then lay there and I'm like, oh, you're being so nice.
what video games are you are particularly keeping you busy right now?
I'm a big Call of Duty fan, and I was on Fortnite for a bit. I just like the no build option. For some reason, I was like, oh, this is kind of fun. I actually enjoy when people aren't just spamming blocks.
I gotta try it since that, like, that's the thing that drove me away from it, was like seeing somebody put a castle up in front of me in like 2 seconds and I'm just sitting there like, I think I can get a wall.
Yeah, it was like how do I build again?
So when you were first getting into wrestling, you were also doing some photography. Do you still keep up with that at all?
Not really. Sometimes I'll mess with Mouse when he's editing photos and getting pictures done for shows, and he'll show me a couple different, like, oh, I want to edit the photo like this or this. And I was like, oh, I like this edit better than this one.
For sure. All right. So I was getting ready to do this interview last night, and I was doing some research and watching some matches, and my daughter walked in the room. She's 10 and has no interest in wrestling whatsoever. Like, she couldn't care less, and it sucks. I really just want to get, like, you know, like, I want to do the, just like, oh, I just want to sit down and watch an episode of Dynamite with her or something, you know. But I'm doing some research on you last night, and she, you know, she walks in. I think I had your match with it was the game related match, ill-mannered West Coast Pro, the three-way with Dark Sheik and Shaza, and I had that on, and she actually sat down and was like, oh, she's like, she was fascinated by you. So she she paid attention to 3 minutes of a wrestling match, which is more than I've probably got in 2 years out of her. So
but I love that I was there for the moment.
It kind of brings me to another story, though. We have here at Body Slam, we had a very young correspondent named Lucy. And about a year ago, you met Lucy at a first wrestling show. She had her hair all done up in the little knots and dyed it blue. So I was talking to her dad, and he mentioned that you had like taken a picture with her, and then even like you'd sent her a birthday message and like a shirt and stuff. And I just want to say, how do these kind of experiences, interactions with, like, you know, young girls affect you, and like, what do they mean to you?
It just reminds me from like when I was in the same position as them, and just, I love to see their happiness and their reactions to me, I guess, as narcissistic as that sounds. But at the same time, I don't understand it, because I'm like, why do you guys like me so much? I am just you in a few years. Just wait a few years and you'll see.
Yeah, I think it's really cool, though. Like, it's got to be pretty wild to be like 17 and then have like people looking up to you, and you're like, oh, you're still so young yourself, you know. It's pretty cool.
I was like, I don't understand how I'm anybody's role model. I'm still trying to figure my life out.
Yeah, look, you think you're on the right track. You seem to be doing pretty all right so far. Next thing I wanted to talk about is Big Starks brand. So some people think it's a school. My understanding is it's like kind of like a network of friends that support each other through wrestling. What exactly is Big Starks brand, first of all?
Currently, Big Starks brand does not have a school. If we did have a school, it'd be the garage, because we have a banner in there that says BSB Performance Center, and that's where my ring is, where I go roll around and do my shenanigans. But for some reason, people thought we turned it into a school. It's not. It is just a group of friends that keeps getting bigger and bigger. I don't know how. But it started during the quarantine. Mouse, who's my dad, saw that I was just upset. I missed wrestling. I missed my friends. And I just wanted to be in a ring. And he made a joke that he was the LeVar Ball of wrestling, if you know what Big Baller Brand is.
Yeah.
And joke that I'm the mellow, and then he started talking crazy and was like, my kid's the best wrestler, blah blah blah. And I was like, oh my god. But it made me smile, and it was a good thing during like the quarantine that I needed, because it felt like, oh, I'm back into wrestling, like here's my people. And we just slowly started growing and growing. And it was just because we joked about it and was like, here's a armband, here's a knee sleeve. And then people actually started wearing them.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, the logo shows up everywhere in wrestling. I you can put on AEW and you see Dante Martin out there with a knee. He's got the knee band on. And then, like, even, you know, like, I'm watching Wrestling Open a few weeks ago, Landon Hale shows up and, you know, like, I'm have no idea who he is, but I see the armband and I'm just like, all right, I have a feeling I'm gonna enjoy this match. Just like, it's
this one's gonna be good.
Yeah, like it's actually this kind of like synonymous thing with like, okay, I generally, if I see this logo, I'm gonna probably see a, you know, a talented up-and-coming wrestler. It's kind of become this whole thing now. How does that, like, did you ever think it would turn into like that level of recognition?
I never thought it was going to be anything more than just a joke that happened during the pandemic, and now it's just a thing that everybody pays attention to.
Okay, so if Mouse is LeVar and you are Mello, who's Lonzo and who's LiAngelo?
Ooh, so I think Trey Lamar is Lonzo, the one that got caught stealing. Mouse jokes all the time that's Trey. And I think that's hilarious. And then I think Cole Radrick is the other one.
The other one.
The other one. The forgotten child.
Oh, man. Cole Radrick. I still have to reschedule one with him. All right. So I want to get into some of your recent matches. First thing, you know, it's really cool seeing you show up now regularly on Uncharted territory. It's been like 3 out of the 4 last episodes. So what's that experience been like?
It's been really fun. And it's interesting not having school on a Monday and then being able to go wrestle. And I just love the people down there. The TWE building is so nice. And everybody there just has great energy and is trying to kill it on a Monday night.
Yeah, you had a battle a couple weeks ago with Tank. That was, I saw the match graphic and I'm like, what? And then couldn't believe the match. It was, you guys were just beating the shit out of each other back and forth. And he said some really, really, really kind words about you at the end of the match. So
for like, some reason, this man loves me so much and I don't understand it. I was like, I looked up to this man and he's just like, no, this kid's great.
He's, you know, it's easy. It's easily recognizable, though. But, you know, when you have like revered figures like Tank and other people, you know, like giving you such strong praise, how does that hit you?
It's very surprising because I just don't understand why I get the love I do sometimes.
Okay. So by virtue of me being a Canadian, like U.S. regional geography is completely lost on me. Is Kentucky considered part of the South?
I consider Kentucky part of the Midwest.
Midwest. Okay. I was wondering that because I'm like, it's there. Like, it could go either way.
Yeah.
That being said, I do have some questions about the South since Uncharted territory is down there. I had Baron Black on here a few weeks ago and he was kind of talking about the South being slept on as far as wrestling goes. Do you agree with that sentiment?
I believe there was a time where like the South wasn't getting the attention it deserves. And thanks to like AC Mack holding the title and being a Southern wrestler and then taking it to like more southern promotions and giving them attention from IWTV and getting uncharted territory there, I think it's really shown off some of the southern talent. But there's so much more that's going on down there that hasn't been seen, and that deserves more attention.
For sure, for sure. SCI, actually, that's, you know, like kind of like the, that's kind of like the big, you know, the big thing, the big event, I would say, in the South. You're competing in that this year. You got a good first round matchup with Robert Martyr.
Robert Martyr.
back to uncharted territory though. Like, I think these weekly recurring shows are really cool. Cause it's like, it's something that you don't normally have in like independent wrestling where you have, you know, like
a weekly product. Like, it's usually monthly. Like
exactly. So it's like, it's a lot harder to carry storylines like over time and in like a month to month basis. So like the weekly format is cool. Like on your end of things, wrestling, is there something like what benefit is there on your side, like with experience and stuff that comes into getting a weekly recurring show like this?
Definitely like the repetition. You get to work in front of the same people and you get to grow like that fan base of like, oh, these people recognize me because I was literally here last week. And just seeing the same people, you can kind of build your stories off of that. Like, oh, I can do this moveset. Okay, let's give them something a little different, but still some of the old.
Nice. Nice. Have you been noticing like some recurring, like, because you've been there, what, three times now in the last like 4 weeks?
I believe so. Three. Yeah.
So are you like noticing like, you know, more engagement with certain people from the audience that you're like, that are, you know, returning week after week as well?
Yes. And I feel like they're bringing more and more people in slowly. It's like, oh, I'm going to tell my friend about you. And then they come and then their friend's going to tell them about it.
That's awesome. That's awesome. It's like, it's like a weekly TV show, but like actually featuring, you know, independent
wrestling.
It's super cool. Some other matches that you've worked recently that I kind of want to talk about. A couple matches with Shaza McKenzie. You wrestled her a few times on her tour over here.
Yes, I wrestled her a total of 3 times, and I think I was like her most reoccurring opponent. got stuck with me.
You were her last one too, right?
I was her very last opponent in America before she got kicked out.
Hopefully not for too long. She had some great matches while she was here. I hope she comes back. One of them being, I touched on it earlier, there was like a triple threat. You worked with Dark Sheik and Shaza for West Coast Pro. That was your first appearance for them too, right?
Yes, and that was my first time ever in California.
Scott, smart man, getting Billy out on the West Coast. I have a feeling it won't be your last time there. Like, they're, you know, that match, like, I don't know. That was just fun to watch. Like, there was a couple of, there was like a double German suplex in that one. And then, well, there was like the powerbomb and German suplex out of the corner. You won the match by tombstoning Dark Sheik onto Shaza. Like, that was,
it was a lot of shenanigans, a lot of people and moving parts.
And then you also got to work with Debbie Malenko recently, who, she's had 2 singles matches since 2001. One of them was against Masha Slamovich, and one of them was against you.
Oh, I didn't know that. I just watched the match versus Masha because I like knew Masha and her moveset. So I was like, oh, let me watch this match so I can like understand what this girl does. And then I had no clue. That's kind of sick.
Yeah, you're her. Second singles match in like 21 years, which is pretty crazy. She's obviously like a legend of the business and a pioneer of women's wrestling. So, like, did she have any advice or words for you either before or after the match at all?
She was super easy to like talk to about wrestling. And when we had our match and came back, she told me thank you and that she had fun. But I've never had someone who like I would talk to and it would just click automatically. It was like, okay, sick. You do your thing here. I do my thing here.
and that just happened with her, eh?
Yeah.
That's awesome. Another opponent that you've had some very entertaining matches with, one of which recently is a man we know as Effie.
Yes. That man. He tried to put me in timeout.
You're 2-0 on him, though.
I am. I have won twice. He is still defeated by all the children.
You guys have I don't know, the dynamic that the two of you manage in your matches. It's like he's basically like, you know, trying to steer you away from being a total POS and discipline you throughout the match. what's putting a match together with Effie like?
Very spontaneous. I feel like that's a good word to use. Because it's very like all over the place. Oh, I have to go sell merch. Okay, I'm gonna go sell merch. Oh, let's come back. Okay, I'm back. Let's do this. Okay, is there a chair? I don't know. I'll go look for a chair. And I felt like that was our entire time. We were just like bouncing back and forth.
And it all came together like it, you know, like
it slowly came together.
You watch the match and it's like you'd sat there for hours working on it. Speaking of Effie, you also challenged Effie and Allie for the GCW tag titles recently with Marcus Mathers. That was another just like, I thought we were getting new tag team champions that day. There were some close near falls in that one. You guys bit me.
So close yet so far.
So you work plenty of tags, plenty of trios matches, singles matches as well. Do you have like a preference between?
I honestly just enjoy all styles of wrestling. I'm having fun with like doing tag team wrestling. I just don't get to do it on a like more consistent basis so I can be better at it. But I also just enjoy being in a singles because I feel like I have so much more control and I don't have to rely on another person. That's my control freak coming out for a second because it's like I want wrestling to be perfect.
Do you have like a dream tag team partner of like someone that, man, I'd love to just if me and this person could be a tag team, that would be, let's go.
Oh, so many names like come to mind, but like who, I don't know. I feel like I would have a really great time with Billy Tipton, who I got to tag with at Uncharted Territory if I got to do it more.
Bill's getting paid, absolutely.
Yes. He was so easy to work with, and at the same time, he's such a big character, and it covers up for me not being such a big character.
That was a really good match, too. You know, for those of you that are watching this live, it was like Uncharted Territory Episode 4. It was Bill's getting paid, and you took on what, Kenzie Page and Drake? Hunter Drake. Thank you. A lot of the name Drake in wrestling. It's so... all right. I kind of saved the one I wanted to talk about most for last. Was you had an awesome match at Tyler's Day Off with Willow Nightingale. Some new entrance music for that one too.
But, it's all about winning at Black Label. Can't ever lose.
You just gotta win. Whatever it takes. Play possum in the corner if you have to.
I don't know what you're talking about.
No. It was a legit injury. That was
yeah, my ankle hurt so bad.
Yeah, big time. You're like always a Black Label now. How's it, you know, how it, do you have like a promotion you consider like a home promotion?
There's like a few places that I consider like my home promotions. Black Label is one of them. St. Louis Anarchy is definitely one, and Girl Fight. They've just been around since when I started and have seen me go from like purple hair Bill to blue hair Bill to whatever I am now.
Getting back to the match with Willow too, like what, you know, she's kind of having a crazy trajectory in 2022. How well do you know her, and what's that, you know, been like seeing her take off the way she has?
I ran into Willow a couple of times, but that was the first time we've ever gotten to wrestle at all. It was very fun to be in the ring with her, because I won. But I think she's an amazing wrestler, and she's killing it on the independents right now. And I loved her promo that she did last night. Was it last night? Yeah, yeah. AEW. I was like, time fades together sometimes.
It's understandable. Like, I props to you for knowing what day of the week it is, honestly. But yeah, no, that was actually, yeah, that was pretty cool. Like, she got some mic time. That was nice to see. So I do want to get into some of your upcoming matches and, you know, kind of just promote what you got coming up. So this weekend you got the Dingo Invitational for St. Louis Anarchy, right?
Yes, sir.
So that, I guess, that's actually going to have happened by the time this airs, but, you know, hope that goes well for you. Hopefully by the time this airs, we'll, you know, I'll get to add to the video description that sat down with the Dingo Invitational winner. Got Marcus Mathers is All I Want next week on, that's Thursday the 23rd, wrestling Zoe Sky. That's gotta be an exciting one.
I'm very excited about that, and that will be the first time me and Zoe Sky have ever wrestled.
Really?
Wow. Yeah.
Damn. A lot of first.
And I also get to wrestle Matt Demoris for the first time on Sean Henderson's All I Want, or not All I Want. I Do Anything.
Yeah, that's
big brain. So two first time matches that weekend. I'm very excited.
All right. And then even that Sunday, too, that's the H2O 6-year anniversary. There's a 4-way match you're in there.
Yep. All the wrestling.
Catalina Perez coming up at Freelance Underground in July.
That's a first time ever match.
Another first time singles match the day after that with Dark Sheik. You've never had a one-on-one as far as I could.
Yeah,
find.
We had a triple threat.
Yeah.
But that's all we've ever done.
And StarCast kind of near the end of July. But the one upcoming match of yours that I do really want to ask you about is Garden State Pro Wrestling on July 23rd. You're wrestling Jannai Kai. And Miyu Yamashita.
Yes. It's going to be so much fun. I'm so excited.
So when they asked you about doing their show, did they tell you like straight up it's to wrestle Miyu Yamashita?
So I was like, hey, I see that you have some really cool talent on your show. I am available this date. And they're like, oh, we were thinking about messaging you. We were thinking about you or Jannai. And I was like, okay, well, I'm here if you guys want to use me. And they said, okay, we're going to use you and Jannai. And I was like, oh, so I'm going to be wrestling Jannai. Then they were added Mayu to our match, and I'm very, very excited. I can't wait.
How much Mayu Yamashita have you just watched as a fan to begin with? Like,
I watched a few of her matches, and I watched her versus Allison K, Pinky Girl. And I just love her kicks. Her kicks are so clean. It reminded me a lot of Jannai.
And you get to take them soon.
Oh no, how many freaking butt kicked.
And then like Jannai, obviously. Jannai Kai is she's like an anomaly, because there's not a lot of information like widely available about Jannai Kai, but she goes into a ring and just kicks the shit out of people. It's crazy.
I love it.
And then last one I do have written down here. So you got Robert Martyr in the first round of SCI on August 5th. You're shaking your head. Why?
Just because it's Robert Martyr, I have to shake my head. I just hear the name and immediately go, no.
we like some Robert Martyr here on the show. He's another young name that is just tearing it up right now. But I guess a bit of a bit of an annoying annoyance at times, I suppose.
He's a tiny little man that just runs around. He's murdering people.
Just a new sensei. All right. So the bulk of my questions for you, well, actually pretty much all of them. Before I do let you go, though, one of the goals of the show is to highlight independent talent and promotions in North America, around the world, doesn't matter where. So before we plug all your socials and say goodbye, I just want to ask, you know, who are some wrestlers and promotions that you think people should be having their eyes on ASAP?
Ooh, definitely Titus Alexander. I think he's killing it right now. Definitely deserves more attention. I love Sandra Moon. She's like one of the women that I would love to wrestle just all the time. Pay attention to Southern Wrestling because they're killing it right now. Tune in for Uncharted Territory. They're working very hard on that product to make it just amazing. And yeah, I think that's all I got.
Awesome. Big agree on Titus Alexander and Sandra Moon. You know, a couple of West Coasters. Yeah, Titus, you know, we regularly put him in the category of can't believe you don't know this guy's name. You should learn this guy's name. But Billy, let everyone know where they can find you.
You can find me at Billy Starks, B-I-L-L-I-E, and then Starks is S-T-A-R-K-Z, and that's on everything, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. Yeah, come check my stuff out, and if you want to check out any of my merchandise, it's linked in my Twitter bio, or you can go to bigstarksbrand.com.
Perfect, and all of those links will be in the video description below. Once again, Billy, thank you so much for being on the show. Had a great time. I'll be here every Tuesday for the most part, unless I'm getting my mouth ripped apart. so, you know, keep an eye on my Twitter, which is right there. Shit, I do this wrong every time. There we go. That's the one. This will be coming out. Well, you're watching this now. It's Tuesday. Keep an eye out for an announcement for future episodes while I'm dealing with all the this stuff. Thanks and have a great day, everybody.